We thank you, God, for its provision, for its purpose, for what you have constructed and built in every word, in every phrase, that, Lord, you have prepared your word for your people, God, to penetrate our hearts, to change us from the inside out, to conform us into the image of your Son, so that we can be properly used for the purposes of your kingdom, God. That is the design purpose of your word. And so, Father, we release your word today to go and accomplish and do what you have set forth to do. Continue to change us, continue to transform us from the inside, Father, and continue, Lord, to be glorified and honored in our lives as we reflect Christ. May you have your way today, in Jesus' mighty name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, we'll be here for a little while, not necessarily sure how long, but God kind of showed me something, because originally, what God was showing me was this teaching, about seasons, because one of the things that we have a problem with in this church is understanding seasons. Not generally just us as a church here at this house, but, churches in general, the people of God usually have a hard time understanding seasons. They don't understand that there is a season for things to happen, even though the Beatles sung a really, you know, prominent song, literally what scripture said. Wasn't the Beatles? What was it? The birds? I'm sorry. I thought it was the Beatles. But anyway, either way. But it's a B band. I don't remember. It was past my time anyway. But anyway, there is a season for certain things to happen, but we understand seasons and we see them as, you know, we're in a winter season. So we believe there's certain things we do, but because of how we have evolved as a society, the reality of the restrictive nature of a season or the promising things that we need to do specifically in this time frame, because you only have this season to do it. Because we don't have those hindrances, because of technology and all this stuff and the way we've advanced, we really don't understand seasons well. And so what has happened is the church has adopted a very bad habit of procrastinating in seasons that you're not supposed to be procrastinating. And effectively, that's dampened the ability of the church to go and do the things God has called us to do. But what the Lord showed me is that we have to learn something before we get to this point. And I really agree with what God was doing in this moment, because I honestly didn't think that this was a problem or this was an issue. But then when he started revealing what he wanted to say to his people today, I was just standing there with my jaw on the ground going, thank God that you are in control and I'm not. Because I would have presumptuously moved forward into this field, and we probably would have been hitting the same impasses. We wouldn't have actually broken the ground that needs to be broken in our hearts and our lives to allow us to understand the seasons better. Amen? So one of the things God brought me to, well, the thing that God brought me to, I shouldn't say one of the things, but the thing that God brought me to is freedom. It is the freest country on the planet. Amen? It is the freest country on the planet. And it's free because people fight to keep that freedom here and alive. And we elect officials that we hope will fight for that same freedom and continue to keep us as a free nation. One of the things we have in this country that no other country has is the freedom of speech. That is the ability that you in this house could say anything you want. And I legally cannot tell you you can't say it. Is it frowned upon? Probably. Will I have a few words with you afterward? Yeah, but that's my freedom to chastise you for your speech, okay, and what you do. But we have that freedom. Nobody is going to execute you or end your life because you said something that was not permitted. And so we have a freedom here in this country that has, unfortunately, in its own right, kind of corrupted the ability for us to understand biblical freedom. Because we actually think the freedom that Christ gave us and speaks throughout the Bible is the same freedom as we have in our speech. And I'm here to tell you, it is not. The freedom that we speak of in the Bible, you'll hear the term, or you'll see the term today a couple times, is known as what? Begins with an L. Liberty. Yes, liberty. okay, which is defined as your ability to act without restraint. And so, when we apply that freedom or that liberty to our speech, there is nothing restraining you from being able to say what you want to say. Right? You could say, potato applesauce right now, and nothing is stopping you from saying that, correct? There you go, bam. Can't stop you. No restraint. But what happens when we receive Christ and He sets us free from the bondage of sin? What happens? Did everybody receive that same case? Did Jesus not come and set captives free? Did He not free you from the bondage of sin? He did. He absolutely did. This was done. Amen? It was done on the cross. Does this freedom then mean that you can go and sin again? You can. You shouldn't, right? Because the Bible says that if you do, you water down the blood of Christ. Because of what Jesus did, accomplished, does not need to be done again and again and again. One time was sufficient for all. Amen? But this is the issue we run into with freedom. Because we believe, in our hearts, truly we believe, that freedom means that we're freed from. We're free from sin. And here's the problem with this thought. When you think this way, or you have this mentality, if you are free from something, that means now you can go do what? You can go do whatever you want. I can go do whatever I want. And this is what the Lord showed me. This is the problem with our understanding. We are not free from. We are free to. And if you get this today, the rest of these teachings will click every single time. You'll see it in scripture. You'll be like, oh, I understand. Oh, I get it. Now that makes sense. Now that's clear. Now I understand. But if you continue to think the freedom that you get to walk out in Christ Jesus is the freedom to do whatever you want, you will find yourself continually stumbling and hitting the same problems in your life countless and countless times again. And here's the problem. Guess what? You're not doing if you stay there. You are not doing the things God's called you to do. You are not. So let's get to this in Galatians 5, verse 1. And this is probably going to be the staple line scripture for the rest of the teachings. So I just want you to just highlight it. You can do what you want with it. But Galatians 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." It is really clear. It is really clear. When we read this verse, we can relate and understand that we indeed are free, right? Is there any confusion about the freedom that we have in Christ? What have you been set free from, according to this verse? The yoke of bondage, which we know is to be what? Sin, right? You have been freed from sin. And since we know this, right? John 8:36, you can pull us back and then go right back. But John 8:36 says that whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So that means that if Jesus has set you free from the bondage of sin, do you need to be set free again from that? No, you are free. There's no repeating. There's no need for this continuation. If you are free, you are free. This is a determined point, right? And so we can embrace this freedom from sin and death that Christ freely gives to us through the gift of salvation. That is something you get to live out your life in. Praise to Jesus. Amen? This is good. I'm not trying to skirt away from the good things. Because I don't want you to think that what I'm about to reveal to you or to show to you waters down the freedom that Christ has given us from sin. Because we need to be set free from sin. Amen? You cannot continue to serve God and serve the devil. You can't do that. So you have to be set free from the will of the devil in your life, which is in sin, to serve our God and King. You can't serve two masters, right? Also in Scripture. Okay? But this is what gets neat. We have a Greek word for the word free. I want to point out, this is the word free in the Scripture, where it says Christ has made us free. Technically, it's made free or made to be free is the entire phrase for the Greek word here. And the Greek word is eleftheriou. It's got that weird umlaut thingy. Eleftheriou. It's got the O with the little O accent. I'll spell it. E-L-E-U-T-H-E-R-O-O with the accent. And this means to set free or to liberate. Biblically speaking, from Christ's perspective, this would mean to ransom or to redeem, which we know that Christ is our Redeemer. Amen? He paid for us with a price to redeem mankind back to God. That is what we know, and that is what we believe as Christians. Amen? This is our lives. And you can even see this in Titus 2, 13 through 14. Go ahead. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God. And is that right? 14? Oh, there it goes. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. This is literally what we are here for. Amen? That is the mission and the purpose. God came in the flesh, in the form of Christ Jesus our Lord, died on the cross, putting sin to death, so that all who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are now set free from the bondage of sin, so that they can go and do the works of God. That is why it all happened. That is why we are here. Amen? Period. There is no other message that can be preached about that being a reality to Christian life. That is our work. So when we see this in, you can go back to Galatians now, Steve. So arriving at this place of freedom that Christ has delivered us from sin is not wrong. I don't want you to think it is, because that is the truth. That is the word. Amen? But we miss something. Because everybody who reads here goes to that point and they skip the very first words of Galatians. And you might have missed it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. So let's go back. You have been freed from sin. But where are you supposed to be? In what? In Christ. But in Christ is also in the what? In the liberty. Did you leave freedom? No. You're supposed to stay in freedom. It isn't some place you go from. It is something you've been set free to. Do you see? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. You were set free from sin to remain in freedom. You're not away from freedom. You're remaining in freedom. Amen? That's what that says. Stand fast means to be firm or to be planted in the liberty. Right? Because this is so crucial, because this is where God is taking us. Being free from means not being shackled to. Right? But if we lead our lives independently as one who is free would, then we're not staying in the freedom. We're going out in our own selfish desire. We've walked away from Christ to go live our lives independently away from Christ. And this is where most Christians live their lives. They live their lives to themselves, free from sin, only to usually end up doing what? Continuing to sin, because guess who you are not in? You're not in Christ. You're not in the freedom. You are away from that. It's amazing. It's amazing. And the reason this happens is because if you are apart from freedom, you are no longer in freedom. You are now back and subjecting yourself to the law. You've put yourself back in the same place that you started. And we cannot do or accomplish the things of God while we are still under the law. So think about how this looks in God's perspective. We were slaves to sin, but Christ came so that we are no longer a slave to sin, but now we become slaves to God. Right? Does everybody understand that? You were a slave, and you are still a... But slaves are not free last time I checked. Matter of fact, slaves are known as property. But we are free in Christ. But you're a slave. Yes, you are free in Christ as long as you remain in Christ. You have to remain there. Amen? But this is what that liberty that we need to be firmly planted in means. And why is this important? Because if we are going to operate as God intends for us to do so and take ground and advance His kingdom, it's not going to be because we feel like it. Because I can guarantee you, if everybody has a day off from work, you know what the first thing they're not going to do is? Work. We are innate in our own selfish nature not going to willingly want to purpose ourselves to go do the thing that we are not inclined to do. And so the reality of it is, if we think that in our own merit, we will go and accomplish the things of God because I want to do it, that will never happen. So apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Why do we then think that we will? And here's the funny part. Eventually, you will. But you want to know what you're not in? Season. So how can we ever go and do the things God's called us to do when He's called us to do them in the season they're called to do when our mentality is snooze? I'll do it later. We don't. And, or if we do, are we where we need to be when we're supposed to be there to receive the things God's had prepared for us beforehand, for us to achieve the things He set us out to do? No, you're late. Mission's already done. We did it without you. Because we have been set free from the bondage of sin, but not to do whatever we want, but rather to the continued freedom that is only found in Christ. Only in this way are we not entangled again into bondage. I want to point that out in Galatians, that the process of what that scripture is pointing out is that you stay in the freedom in Christ. You stand, you plant yourself in Him every single moment of your life. Why? Because you've been set free to Him, to remain in Him, so that you will not return to that yoke of bondage. But apart from Him, guess what you will do? You're right back in it. And God showed me something about that, and I'll get to that in a minute. But if you would, turn to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. Says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, and you want to highlight convey, us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. I want to again highlight how everything that we need to continue to remain in the purity and the holiness and the standard of holiness that Christ has set upon us and given to us only happens while we remain in Him. Your freedom, your holiness, everything about that makes you good before God only happens while you remain in Christ. You can do nothing apart from Him. Again. Right? So if we start to see that in this liberty we stand in, it is not meant for us to wander about aimlessly, but we have a purpose. And what has it, what does Colossians tell us that we have been set free to? Because remember, it's not free from, it is free to. You have been conveyed into what? The kingdom. Remember I said highlight convey? Convey is a very awesome word. Convey, or the word could be written in your Bible, translated, which means to carry from one place to another. This means that freedom from has to have a second destination. You were free from to something. You're not free from and whatever. Wander in the ether. No. Christ has picked you up and he has put you in to where? Where did he put you? Into the kingdom of the Son. It is his kingdom. Amen? From the power of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of his love. The freedom most believers in, that most believers who carry on the name of Jesus and believe in their hearts they have, they carry the freedom from. And not the to. And here's what's really awesome. Here's the illustration God showed me. You know what that's the equivalence of? You come to Jesus and you accept Jesus in your heart and Jesus shows up and he goes, okay, opens the prison door, undoes your shackles, and says, come with me. And you're just going, no, I'm good. Thanks for letting me move my arms around. I can stretch my legs past the door a bit, but I like it here. I'm comfortable here. And you don't let Jesus pick you up out of that cage and transplant you into where? The kingdom. And this is what God showed me. This is the part that I think we don't get. This is the part we don't understand. How can you advance a kingdom and its purpose if you've never set foot in it? How many believers in Jesus Christ live a life free from sin while they still stay in the cage of their kingdom because they like the rules and the regulations that they have set forth for themselves and the expectation that is very low for them to accomplish because they don't want to go to the kingdom where, yes, they're free, or so they think, and they don't want that. They'd rather operate in the freedom of the law of the land they've set for themselves. And so, but you project and convey by uttering the name of Jesus as Lord of your life, but you don't even know who you serve because you've never set foot in his kingdom. You've never ever set foot past his walls. You don't know what his palace looks like. You don't know anything about him. And yet you claim you serve him. No, you don't. You serve yourself. You use his name. And I'm not sitting here telling you to go investigate the word, but I am telling you to go investigate the word and find out what happens to the people who claim the name of Jesus, but deny the power therein. How can you do anything by the name of Jesus if you do not understand the kingdom that you are representing? You can't. Furthermore, in this kingdom is found what, according to this verse? What is found in this kingdom? The forgiveness of sins and the redemption that you claim over your life is not found in that cell. What does that mean? Do you understand that you have to live a life of redemption and freedom from sin? With the only time you were set free was the time Jesus came in and undid the shackles and opened the door. What do you do with the next time you're caught in sin? Guess where it's not at? It's not there. And so people cry out to Jesus to forgive them and everything. And all you've done is you just picked up the shackles and went, I'm putting them back on. I'm cool here. You met him. You've seen and felt his goodness. But you refuse to be used mightily by the God whom set you free. You refuse. Now, what did you refuse? Because you don't understand. This is what I thought was tremendous. John 15, verse... What can you accomplish? Nothing. If what we are seeing here in John 15 is not just for the Jew, but is also availed to the Gentile, and he'll be grafted back in, so that if you are on the vine, it happens because you have identified with the vine. You are in and being carried to Christ Almighty. Thank you, Lord, because I'm not smart enough. Set free or conveyed into the kingdom of God. Slavery means to be a slave to Christ. It means to be a citizen of... Take your U.S. citizenship and go over to China and wave your U.S. flag and see how many rights you have. Are you free to do whatever you want in China? Yeah, you can. Citizenship is what matters. The government is on his shoulders. Amen. And we are in him. We are in his kingdom. So the citizenry of whom we are a part of is Christ. He is our governor. He is our king. He is our ruler. But we are his people. We are the citizens of his kingdom. Amen. Are we free while we are in the kingdom of Christ? Yes, we are free, but we still are obligated to obey the will of our Lord. Is that any different than you are here in this country? We have rules, do we not? You're free, but you have rules. We don't get this. We don't understand it because we think the freedom we have is obligatory freedom to do whatever you want. The reality is that you're free as a citizen of the kingdom of what you've been translated to. You are free while you are in Christ. In this illustration, Christ shows us our citizenship and its requirements to be a citizen are not based on birth, but rather a reception of our placement into his government and rule. You willingly agree with the rules set before the king to say, yes, Lord, I am a citizen of my King Most High. I welcome that in my life. And here's the catch. If we are going to go and advance the kingdom, that kingdom, that you can only know what the rules are if you're in it. You can only know what the credences and the missions and the goals that the king has given if you are in the kingdom. You cannot do any of this when you're in the cage. You know nothing. But if you are in his kingdom and you are part of his citizenry, you serve him, you serve his will, you serve his purpose, you have the things he's given to you, you get to be blessed by the king and his majesty and his benevolence over his people. And only in this do you produce fruit. Only way you can produce fruit is if you are a citizen of the king in his kingdom. All of that should not be weird. But you know what's really comical? How many people are branches sitting on the side that are close to the vine, that are trying their hardest to produce fruit? Trying so hard, I want to honor God. I want to do this for God. I want to bless God with my life. I want to do this. I want to do this for God. I want to do this for God. You want to do so many things for God, but you're still trying to make your own fiefdom. Think about this. If you are a small little hut outside of the king's kingdom, and you're going around claiming that he's your king, and you're doing things that are not in the will of the king, and you're making claims that the king has done, but that's not what the king is doing. And you're even going as far as to say that he told me to do this, or he given me this to do, or he asked me to do this, so I go do this in the name of the king, and the king has not said. What is that called? It's treason. It's heresy. It's treason. And all of this we don't understand because we don't get this world. Like I don't have a king. I have a president here. I don't understand. What's that mean? Do you understand the same ruling regulations that we came from? We've been actually inherited those things. Do you understand that there are crimes of treason in this country? Do you understand they're just not enforced? But do you want to know what's real? The betrayal. The reality of, if you want to continue to live a life apart from Christ because you do not want to accept him translating you into the freedom that is required for you to accomplish anything in him and stay in that freedom and stay in that kingdom and hear and know what your purpose and your will is, you are always going to default to wanting to do what you want to do. And this is really pinnacle, because every single person in Christ has this selfish weight that they carry around with them of what they want. And we even use scripture to back it up. And I want to tell you something. This is a double-edged sword. What that means is it can go and do great things, but it can also stick you too. And what we've tried to do is find crafty ways to make sure that we don't get stuck. So what we do is we put it foam tape around it, put a foam pool noodle around it. So now I can't get hurt. Well, you know what else doesn't happen? You're also ineffective at doing anything good with the word to enhance and further the kingdom, because it's soft. The reality is the word that we turn around and we take and we push in is how God will give us the desires of our heart. You know how that ends? Not just God delights in those who delight in him, but what? Yep. We want to fast track that, and so we think this. I come here and I worshiped you, Lord. I've come and I've blessed you with my tithes, Lord. I've come and I've said how great and wonderful you are. Am I not fulfilling that word? Am I not delighting in you, God? So that means then, therefore, I can have whatever I want. And so what do we do with that? We take that as, I am now free to go do what I want. It's not even greasy grace, it's a manipulation. You have manipulated the word of God to get what you want and not actually do what God has actually called you to do. We think that we can twist and turn the words of God to benefit us because, after all, we are really pinnacly only interested in ourselves. And the reality of why that is because we've accepted that we are free from, but we have not accepted that we are set free to. And if we are free to stand firm in the liberty that you have been set free from. You will understand that in this freedom that you have been put into makes you the citizen of Christ. You are a citizen. And that also means that your home is not here. Your home is His kingdom. And while you're in His kingdom, you have things to do. Your mission, your goals, your plans, your purposes, they're not about what you want. They're about what's going to further and advance His kingdom. That's our goal, church. That's not just our goal for this month. That's our goal for eternity. Everything is based off of us understanding that we serve a mighty God and that He wants to do what He wants to do. It's not about me. I hope as we go down this journey, because guess what? Yeah, there's a lot of things that we do this in also. We do this when it comes to how we love, how we bless, how we serve. All of these areas are suspect because guess what? You've been calling on the name of Jesus, but you've been doing it in your will, according to your fiefdom, according to your kingdom, not His. Because you've actually not accepted the translational aspect of this relationship, which is you are not adjacency to Christ. You're in Christ. You go where He goes. What's that? How's that song go? I will go where I'll go. Where you lead, I will lead. I mean, like, we are not adjacent to Him. We are in Him, church. We are in Him. And the more we accept that governance and that rule over our lives, the more actual citizenship we have in heaven, the real citizenship, the citizens that actually honor the King and serve the King because they are in the kingdom. They're not outside the kingdom. Amen? Amen. If you have need of prayer, I will pray with you. I invite you to come up. And I want to invite you with this other mindset. If you are that person, if you're that person who's in that place where you know you're in that cell and you're trying to build your fiefdom, I want you to come up and I want you to just repent. It starts with a repentant heart. You asking Christ to translate you starts with you repenting for not letting that happen the first time. Because it's always been His heart to convey you into the kingdom of the Son. Amen? And then we can get started. Hallelujah. Amen? Because 2025 is going to be our year. Amen? But it's only going to be our year if we're in the kingdom. So let's make it so.